Welcome to episode 25 of Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. I can't believe we're 25 episodes in already. It's pretty impressive. We've gotten this far already, and a lot more to come. So we'll have a lot of fun. So, of course, make sure everybody knows, go out to our website, offthechartshorseracing.com. And, of course, at the top of that page, you'll find the links to all of our links to get you to how you can listen to us through the Apple Podcasts or subscribe through iTunes. Subscribe to your favorite podcatcher with our RSS feed, and also be sure to follow us on Twitter at OffTheChartsHR, as Steve may post some late changes or even maybe some other picks he finds. And for those of you Google Android users, go hit that link and be able to go to the Google Music Play Store, as well as we're all listed on Stitcher Radio, so you can listen to us on there as well. And as I just mentioned, we're a lot of people are listening. 2,500 downloads of our podcast so far. It's been great to see everybody's listening and enjoying what we provide here. So as far as the agenda for today is, of course, Steve's going to review last week's results and what happened there. And then, of course, our great Horse Nuggets segment. I'm looking forward to this. Going over what a pick three and pick four does for you. He'll tell you in a little bit of what that's going to be meaning after this nugget. And there's going to be only four stakes races for today, two at Gulfstream, and then two at a new track we haven't talked about on the podcast before at Oaklawn Park. So I think that's going to be a good, interesting thing to do. So why don't you kick us in, Steve, and talk us through what happened last week.
Yeah, Dave. So we handicapped four stakes races last week. We had one top pick winner, that horse with Calvin Burrell. Wired the field in our of the four stakes races last week, and then we struggled a little bit. Especially disappointed in the three-year-old race, the Derby prep race. But as I communicated with my IM buddy through texting, who follows us and owns racehorse with me, you know, this is just kind of what happens in the three-year-old season. I think the horse that won that race, paid $44. So, yeah, you know, it's that's kind of the way sometimes this three-year-old Derby prep season can go. And, you know, pretty confident we're going to identify a couple horses like that ourselves. You know, that was Dwayne Lucas and Gary Stevens who won with that combination. And it's just a reminder that you got to watch out for those guys, those trainers that have done well along the Derby trail throughout their life. And though I don't think Dwayne Lucas has the same handicapping chops, training chops as he used to, he certainly can throw in a surprise winner along this the Derby prep trails. So overall, Dave, we've handicapped 149 stakes races now through these 24 podcasts. We've had 63 top two pick winners.
Great. All right, let's go right into the Horse Nugget segment. And this, like I said, is an interesting topic, talking about pick threes and pick fours. And of course, we've had some great successes in 2017, as we see in our bank accounts. And it's you definitely have some opportunities of return on investment with these gimmick bets, but they're a lot of fun. And I think you have some great ways of handicapping and doing these types of bets. So why don't you get us into the nuggets?
Yeah, Dave. So as a guy that's spent a lot of years hanging around with me at the track and at the OTBs, you know that this is kind of my money making opportunity is playing pick threes and pick fours, and show profitability just about every year in both of these categories. And as I mentioned to you before we got on the podcast, Dave, as we were just kind of talking through some of our pre-podcast stuff, at some point in the not-too-distant future, I'm going to take a Saturday and handicap an entire card at a racetrack. And this segment on pick threes and pick fours will be kind of the precursor to give the players some ideas of how they might utilize the picks and create themselves some – pick three and pick four plays. So just real briefly, you know, one of the things I like about pick threes and pick fours is that the investment it can be a small investment for a potentially large payoff. as you know, Dave, the pick four that we hit on Derby Day last year, I don't know, what did we put in that 16? I think we put $16 in that thing for
– I think it was less than that.
And well, I think you had it for 50 cents and I had it for a dollar.
Right.
And you know, I think that we get back $6,300 or something ridiculous like that. So
$3,400 for me.
So, you know, and when I look at my statistics in playing pick threes and pick fours, the return on investment is fantastic. Yep. So I like pick threes and pick fours over trifectas, exactas, superfectas, all the single race gimmicks, just because betting pick threes and pick fours is about picking winners. So my handicapping style and skill is much more geared towards identifying horses that will perform, and identifying horses that at a price would perform. And if I can get one of those home, I usually have a live pick three or pick four ticket. So one of the keys in putting together a pick three or pick four ticket is I've always got to find a key horse, a horse that I'm going to probably single in one of the segments who is a non-favorite. And really, I really feel like if I can find a winner in the pick three or pick four sequence, one winner, that I usually have the other races covered well enough, that I've got a pretty good shot at hitting the pick three or the pick four. Yeah. One of the things I've started doing recently after doing some reading, Dave, is I've started to include the morning line favorite in my other sequences. So if I find a key horse, a non-favorite that I think is a winner, and I key that horse in the other segments of my pick three or pick four ticket, I've started to make sure I include the morning line favorite. You know, Dave, there have been lots of nice payoffs that we have scored on where the favorite was part of the sequence. So I know a lot of players who play pick threes and pick fours try to find ways to beat favorites, and I do too. That's where my single comes in. But in those other races, I make sure that I put the morning line favorite in my other sequences. I like to spread out my selections in maiden races and cheap claimers when I'm putting together pick three and pick four tickets. Those seem to be the most unpredictable of all the races that you have to handicap on a given card. And those are the kinds of races where you can catch a pretty nice priced horse as part of your sequence. So I like to spread out in maiden races, especially maiden special weight races, especially maiden special weight races where there's a lot of horses that have not had a start before. And then I start playing trainers and jockeys and do some breeding stuff and occasionally can hit a really nice price horse. If in any of the pick three or pick four sequences you actually like two horses, and one of those two horses could be a favorite if you wanted it to be, once you've identified more than one key horse that you're going to single, then just double up your bet. Yeah. So if you normally play a $1 pick three, pay a $2 pick three. If you normally play five, play 10. That's what I do. I double up when I like a couple horses in the sequence. I just want to put one pick three betting strategy for people out there that I used and have used over the years. And really it's just take the three races that you want to play a pick three in and pick three horses in each race. And then identify who you think the winner is going to be then in each one of those three races. So you've got three horses picked in a race. You pick one of those three horses and identify that as the key horse in that race. So you have three horses that you like as winners in the three consecutive races. And then what I like to do is play the key horse in the first leg with the three. And then I come back and play three horses with the key in the second race with three. And then in the third leg, I play three with the key. Now, the nice thing about that is that, you know, obviously one of your key horses has got to win in one of those three sequences for you to have a live pick three ticket. But if you hit two legs, now you got the pick three for $2. And if you should happen to identify all three winners, you've got that pick three for $3. And that usually That pick three betting strategy costs $27. So it's the key with three horses, with three horses, three horses with your key, with three horses, and then three horses with your key.
Yeah.
So you're betting three tickets, and that entire sequence costs you $27.
And like you mentioned, you know, I fall into that trap all the time. Exactas, perfect, and trifectas, and playing straight. I mean, you get sucked into that so easily, and I do all the time. And I think that this year I'm going to change my strategies a little bit and do kind of like what you do with this, and just really focus on pick threes and pick fours for that matter. Just because it like I said, $27 investment, I probably spend that much in investment playing all these other exotics, and
yes,
and it's not worth it anymore. It's just, I mean,
well, Dave, right before the year ended, I hit that pick four
right
near the end of the year. I think I put $8 into the race, and I got back $4,000.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't beat the return on investment.
No.
And so, you know, are you going to spin through some money? Are you going to lose some pick threes and pick fours? You are.
Sure.
But over the long haul, and you know, and I've got the records to prove it. Over the long haul, you're making money at the racetrack, which is not easy to do.
No, not at all.
So for me, you know, everyone has their style and everyone has their things that they'd like to do. My only suggestion to the people that are listening is keep records. Start to identify where you do best.
Right.
And both from a racetrack standpoint, so identify the race courses where you do well, and then identify the kinds of bets that you seem to do best in. And try to use facts. And the facts have shown me, Dave, that, mm-hmm. that though I think I'm a pretty good handicapper in picking winners, my ability to hit pick threes and pick fours is there's no doubt in my mind the way that I need to be wagering. And so I do.
No, and I see it that way too. I mean, even if you get another, like the Daily Double, sometimes we've had to go back and cover up, try to see if we could
right.
Cover there at the end of the pick three. I mean, that's even an okay option too. But no, I agree with you. I like the strategy. And then, you know, we know other people too that play these pick threes and pick fours. And I just blows my mind watching some of these people. They put seven, eight, nine horses into a race. And I'm like, it adds up quick. And I think that's a really good strategy. Just stick with the three and then you pick the key, you know, and I really like right. that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's one that doesn't get you beat up.
Right.
And yet, you've got it covered. You got three horses in every race. A decent handicapper should be able to identify three horses in each race that
right.
have a good chance of winning. You know, that gives you an opportunity to include the morning line favorite, gives you a chance to include a mid-range price horse, and it gives you the chance to throw a long shot in. Right. So there's your three horses.
Exactly.
Yeah. In each sequence.
And
you know, Dave, if you should happen to catch one of those bombers in one of those three sequences, wow, all of a sudden you got a nice live pick three ticket.
Exactly.
So,
good strategies. I think
thanks.
People should definitely follow that. I followed it along with you as well. So, and I said, I just have to get it out of my mindset of thinking that you can't bet every horse. And that's what some people just think they have to do that. And it's just,
yep, no, they do.
There's a lot of throwouts when you handicap a race. And,
yep.
And, I think it's a great strategy. So, but no, that was a great segment. Appreciate
thank you.
Appreciate yeah, that's that information.
Good. Yeah, thank you.
And then let's dig right in. And now we've got, like I said, we have four total stakes races this week. Two of them at Gulfstream Park. We're going to start there first, and when we will bring up the program here. And this, you're going to start here with the sixth race, and the sixth race is a really short distance, only 5 furlongs. It's on the turf. This is the fourth running of the Texas Glitter. It's $75,000, and it's got three. It's for 3-year-olds. And let's hear your picks.
Okay. So, Dave, my top selection in this race is going to be the 7-horse Bourbon Currency. Urban Currency is trained by John Kimmel, ridden by Irod Ortiz. This horse was purchased for $260,000, as you can see in the past performances. Three starts on the turf, a win and a second. I have taken a look at some of those races from last year. You can see two sub-12-second eighths of a mile. This horse is run both on the turf, one at Belmont, one at Gulfstream. Yep. So it looks like this horse probably likes to track a bit. I like the change to Irod Ortiz. Yeah. He's 38% when he rides for Kimmel. Take a look at all those turf workouts after this horse got laid off for a little bit after that December 17th race. And then two of those turf workouts, the one on the 4th and the 11th of February, are both bullet turf workouts. Kimmel's not doing awfully well out at Gulfstream right now, but he does have a pretty nice record with turf sprints and a limited sample, 22%. He's a 20% trainer in stakes races. This horse looks like the right fit for me to be the top selection, Dave. So let's make the 7 Bourbon Currency our top pick. I was torn a little bit between Bourbon Currency and this next horse as my top selection, and I'll tell you why I didn't make this horse the top selection. So my second selection here is Reed Can, the 6 horse. The 6 horse is trained by Phil Combes, is Carlos Montalvo is the jockey. I like Carlos Montalvo, especially on horses that have early speed, which this horse does. I think Montalvo, pretty underrated jockey. Take a look at that race on December 17th when this horse wired against our top selection, Bourbon Currency.
Look at that price.
That first quarter was 20.99. That horse flew. But as I handicapped the race, Dave, and as I always say, pace makes the race, I saw a lot of speed in here, and it just looks like our horse, Bourbon Currency, will be in a position with a good closing rider to close into the speed. Though this six horse is dangerous. So let's make the 6 horse, Dave, Reed Can, our second selection.
Okay.
And our third and final selection, Dave, is going to be the 2 horse, Barbarossa. Todd Pletcher trains Javier Castellanos, the jockey. This horse is 2-1 in the morning line. Not sure this horse will be the post time favorite. I think both of our other horses are going to get some action as well. But this horse got a 3.38 Tomlinson figure for the turf. Shows a sub 12-second, 1/8 of a mile in his past performances. Got a pretty nice workout there on February 11th. Pletcher and Castellano team up pretty well, I feel, especially in turf sprints at look at Pletcher's record, 33% when he puts horses in turf sprints. You kind of think of Todd as being more the classic trainer and a dirt trainer, but he actually does pretty well with turf horses. So let's make the 2 Barbarossa, Dave, our third selection. So to summarize, Dave, in Gulfstream Park's 6th race on Saturday, our selections are the 7, the 6, and the 2.
All right. Those looks like some good chances. Might be able to get even an exact out of that race. So there's some good prices and potentially make some money there too. So, let's move on. You're going all the way down to towards the end of the card here. And we're going down to the 12th race here at Gulfstream Park. And it's a mile, and it's a grade 3 running of the 28th running of Hal's Hope. It's a purse of $100,000 and 4-year-olds on upward. Now let's get us your picks.
Yeah, Dave. So my top selection in this race is going to be the 6 horse. The 6 horse is Malagasy. Malagasy is trained by Pletcher. Todd Pletcher, ridden by Javier Castellano again. We just got done talking about that combination. This horse is a 4-year-old colt. So, given lots of speeches about 4-year-olds in previous podcasts. This horse is 2nd off a layoff. Take a note of that sub 12-second, 1/8 of a mile in its last start. It's a little bit of a stretch out, right? Going from 6 furlongs to a mile. Yep. I like Pletcher in those scenarios. This horse was on the Derby trail last year, Dave, and kind of threw a little clunker there in the Arkansas Derby, and it looks like Pletcher decided to lay this horse off then until this year. But this horse clearly has talent. 4-1 in the morning line, 2nd off the layoff, stretch out, a lot of things I like here. So let's make the 6 horse Malagasy our top selection.
Okay.
Our second selection, Dave, is going to be the 3 horse Conquest Big E. Trained by Donna Green, kind of a unknown trainer. Luis Saez is the jockey. couple things I circled here, Dave. This horse has got a 386 Tomlinson at this distance and has won three times at the mile distance and ran second two of the eight times, produced a 98 buyer speed figure. You gotta like the jockey change.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, third off the layoff, Saez, who's just knocking it dead out there at Gulfstream Park, seems to be riding extremely well and really moving horses up. This horse, he has some great stakes under his belt, and thought about making this horse our top pick. So pretty competitive two races here at Gulfstream, but let's make the three horse, Dave, Conquest Big E, our second selection. And our third and final selection, Dave, is going to be the one-horse Irish War Cry Grand Motion Trains. Jose Ortiz is the jockey. This horse just turned 4 years old, like the rest of the three-year-olds on January 1st. You know, the thing I've got circled here is this horse got class, right? This horse was on the Derby trail, ran in the Kentucky Derby, ran into Belmont. In fact, I believe we selected this horse.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And had the lead
and couldn't hang on. I liked this horse a lot last year, Dave. I seem to have picked this horse a number of times when it was just us guys hanging around at the OTB and playing these races. But let's make this horse, Dave, our third selection. I think this horse will probably give a good account of himself. Been off for quite a while, though, so maybe Motion's going to just put a race underneath this horse's belt. But let's make the one-horse Irish War Cry our third selection. So our selections, Dave, to summarize, in Gulfstream Park's 12th race on Saturday are the 6, the 3, and the 1.
Okay. And now we're going to move over to Oaklawn Park, and you're going to go all the way down to the 7th race. Another short distance. It's 6 furlongs. This is the 10th running of the Down the Dusty Road Breeders. It's $100,000 for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds on upward. Get us your picks.
Yeah, so Dave, I handicapped both these races at Oaklawn for a sloppy track. Okay. I looked at the weather for Hot Springs, Arkansas over the next 3 days. It's 100% chance of rain today, tomorrow, and Saturday. So all of these selections were made with a sloppy track in mind. In this 7th race at Oaklawn, Dave, our top selection is going to be the 10 horse, IB Genie B. Al Cates is the trainer. R.A. Vasquez is the jockey. Big thing I got circled here, Dave, is just this horse has been cooked on some pretty fast paces. The last three starts, and even the start on the turf there at Louisiana Downs. So this horse, Speed Horse, got a nice bullet work out there on January 10th out at Oaklawn. You know, these sloppy tracks where it keeps raining, the water just lays on top of the track, and these horses that with speed just kind of skip over them. I like outside posts on sloppy tracks just because I find the track to be deeper on the inside on days when it's raining and when the track is sloppy. So this horse is going to have a pretty good position, and this horse is 8-1 in the morning line. So I'm going to make the 10 horse, Dave, IB Genie B, our top selection. Our second selection is going to be the horse right next door. The 9 horse, Miss 51st Street. Albert Stahl is the trainer. Ricardo Santana is the jockey. You don't have to really say a whole lot more other than Albert Stahl, who's 20% out at Oaklawn, 27% overall this year. This horse is second off a layoff, off a winning effort at Oaklawn Park. Horse has, you know, looks like it can't. She can be rated, so she might just sit off of us, or you know, Santana could gun this horse and give us a battle. But you know, we have to put Stahl and Santana in there as one of our selections. They're a deadly combination. So let's make the 9 horse, Dave, Miss 51st Street, our second selection. And our third and final selection, Dave, let's throw the post-time favorite in there, the 7 horse Ministries, trained by Jaime Gonzalez. Terry Pompel is the jockey. This horse is 9-5 in the morning line. was looking for a price play to put in as our third selection, but then I saw the Tomlinson 383 on a wet track and said, yeah, this horse might be the horse that's got the right breeding to run well on a sloppy track. So I would not feel good if this horse won. This horse got a nice record, 6 lifetime starts, 3 wins a second and 2 thirds. So let's make the 7 horse Ministry our third selection, Dave. So to summarize, at Oaklawn Park, race 7 on Saturday, our selections are the 10, the 9, and the 7.
All right, then we'll move on to the last race on our handicapping card here. This is at the 8th race at Oaklawn Park. This is 6 furlongs. It's the 7th running of the Gazebo, $125,000 purse, and it's 3-year-olds. Give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave, so I tried to look past the favorite in here, but I can't.
Couldn't do it.
So let's make the 3-horse Matole our top selection. Steve Asmussen trains. Santana's the jockey. This horse has got 2 sub 12 second quarters of an eighth of a mile in its past performances. And, both of those are back to back sub eighths of a mile. The last time out where this horse won by 10 lengths, at Oaklawn Park, has a nice Tomlinson on a wet track, 398. The buyer speed figures keep going up, started with a 69, then produced an 87, and then just broke its maiden with a 96. So it's kind of improvement you can see out of 3-year-olds. So let's make the 3-horse Matole our top selection, Dave. But let's also then make the 2-horse Direct Dial with Steve Asmussen and Gary Stevens as the jockey at 5-1, our second selection. You got to love the jockey. Stevens from these other guys. I mean, Stevens a Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame jockey, and these are the kind of horses that can improve. All right, 376 Tomlinson on a sloppy track, going to have to improve a lot of lengths to be competitive with Matole. But I take a look at that race, the Sanford at Saratoga. This horse was 4-1 against Forensic Fire and Free Drop Billy, who were some of the top 2-year-old horses last year, which makes me know that this horse can be competitive. So something to consider. It's probably going to be a 3-2 exacta, Dave, but you might want to put a saver on this 2-horse to win. Let's make the 2-horse Direct Dial our second selection. And then in our third and final selection, let's put a long shot out there, Dave. Let's make the 6-horse Wild Caramello. Danny Pish is the trainer. R.E. Aramla is the jockey. And the thing to like about this horse, Dave, is first of all, this horse has been cooked on 2 really fast paces the last 2 times out. But even more importantly for me, take a look at that Tomlinson on a wet track, 450. It outdistances anybody in this race in terms of breeding for off track. So anything can happen on a sloppy track, Dave. So, if the players are playing gimmicks or pick 3s or pick 4s and that chalk finds its way out of the money and a horse like this or the 2-horse wind up being in the money, all of a sudden, whammo, you've got yourself a really live pick 3 or pick 4. And that's how you cash a big ticket. So let's make the 6-horse, Dave, Wild Caramello. And this is R.E. Aramia is the jockey, not Aramla, who is the guy that – well, Aramla is the guy that rides at Houston. And I thought, with my bad vision and my bifocals here, I misread that. So I wanted to correct myself. So, Dave, in the 8th race at Oaklawn on Saturday, our picks are the 3, the 2, and the 6.
All right. Well, let's hope we get some good winners this weekend and bring some of these home. Let's wrap this up. Make sure you go to our website, offthechartshorseracing.com. And there, all the links are at the top to be able to listen to us, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. They're all up the top there. Just click and listen and download and grab our audio, listen to us. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Off the Charts HR. And as Steve mentioned, there's going to be some wet conditions at Oakland Park, so there might be some changes. So he might post some of those race day changes, or might even come up with some other picks. So make sure you go out there as well. And just subscribe to and listen to us. If you have any questions or want to send us an email, you can send it to questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. And Steve would be happy to answer any of those questions you have. Any closing comments before we wrap this up?
Yeah, Dave, you know, I like to be transparent. So let's through full transparency, just mention that, as you know, during a lot of this late fall and early winter, my daughter plays college basketball, and that's kind of where my Saturdays have been. And the season's over now, which is, you know, you always mention people to follow us on Twitter, and I might be giving picks. And this will be my first Saturday of not watching girls college basketball. And in fact, you and I are planning on having a day out on Saturday. So I will, you know, it's more likely that I will be tweeting stuff out going forward now through the rest of the year.
Awesome. All right. So with that, thanks for joining us. Good luck. And good season.